I said to myself, man, that would be a great service, a great sermon. Amen. So that's what we're going to preach this morning. Amen. A sermon entitled The Right Strike Zone of Discernment out of Hebrews 5:14. Amen. I'll give you a little bit of time to get there. Hebrews 5:14. A sermon entitled The Right Strike Zone of Discernment. If you're there, amen, say amen. If you still need help, say oh my. If you can't find it after that, just follow along. Glory to God. Amen. Now, the Word of God says, Hebrews 5:14, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Let's pray. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. We come to you, God, this morning asking, God, that you would give us wisdom, knowledge, understanding, discernment, God, to know good and evil, Father. We thank you for your work. We thank you for your word and all that you are going to do in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. See, in baseball, every pitch is not the same. You have a curveball. You have a fastball. You have, amen, all kinds, the three-finger, the four-finger, the five-finger, amen, all kinds of different things. And the way you hold the ball is, amen, is going to determine, amen, how that ball is going to release your hand to be able to go across, amen, the batter's plate. But a batter, listen to me, the ball is hidden back over here behind the pitcher. And, amen, a batter must quickly decide in a split second whether to swing or allow that ball to be able to pass by. The difference between a strike and a ball can be measured by only a few inches. But making that right decision, it will often determine whether, amen, the game is won or lost. Can I tell you? Spiritually, you and I, amen, as believers, we face the same challenges. We face those challenges on an everyday basis. There are opportunities. There are relationships. There are decisions that come to you and I just like pitches do. Some of those are from God, but others, amen, are from distractions or even temptations. The sermon this morning is defined by God's given ability to recognize the difference between them. A Christian without discernment will swing at everything thrown at him, or will not ever swing at all. He or she will be stuck at the plate, just waiting, amen, just waiting and waiting. And how many know that, amen, that we can sit there and we can wait and we can look good, but we're not doing anything? Firstly, a mature Christian knows the right strike zone. See, we have to know the right strike zone. A baseball player's strike zone, amen, is defined by the rules that govern the game. It is not governed, amen, or dictated by the baseball player. It is not dictated by the batter's box, the catcher, the pitcher, or even the manager of the team. It is dictated by the rules, amen, that govern the game. I'm glad you asked me, Pastor, what are those rules? Amen. The strike zone is always 17 inches wide, which is the width of the home plate. The height extends from the midpoint, amen, between the batter's shoulder or the elbow and the top of their uniform pants, amen, down below the hollow of the kneecap. So basically you have a strike zone between when the batter is there from where the elbow is to the right above the kneecap. See, our spiritual strike zone this morning, it is defined by one thing and one thing only. It is God's word. Our strike zone cannot be defined how you and I feel. Well, I think the strike zone should be here. It is not defined by our culture. Because can I tell you, culture many of times dictates how you and I, amen, are there and are to follow the word of God. It is dictated wholly by one thing, and that is God's word. See, many people say, amen, when they are going through, I just do what feels right to me. Can I tell you, that's not right? What makes me happy? That's not right. My strike zone is what everybody else is doing. Monkey see, monkey do. That's not right. Well, everybody's doing it, but is it right to do? See, as Christians, you and I should ask ourselves one thing. What does the word of God say? Psalms 119, 105 says, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. See, without this, amen, without the word of God, everything, amen, will begin at one point or another to look acceptable. They're doing it like this, so we're doing now what they're doing. They're doing it like that, so now we are doing how they're doing. And now you got a big old jumbo mumble, and everything is mixed up, but nothing is right. See, before you and I do anything in life, you and I ought to ask ourselves one thing. Does this fit with what the word of God says? Amen? Does it fit with what God says? Amen. Let's show the first video.
Baseball is officially back. And we've already seen two embarrassing strike zone challenges. On the first day of spring training, Yankees catcher Austin Wells tried to frame a low curveball. But after not getting the call, he decided to tap his head and challenge the pitch. With the ABS system now in full effect for 2026, the video board showed the pitch being well below the strike zone, meaning the call was upheld and the Yankees lost a challenge. But one inning later, Austin Wells would do it again, challenging another breaking ball, this time to Orioles batter Heston Kjerstad. And after review, the pitch wasn't even close, meaning Wells single-handedly lost both the Yankees' ABS challenges on two bad pitches.
You only have two challenges in the whole game. See, here it is, this man. I think it's a strike. Let me challenge it. And he got them wrong. So throughout the rest of the game, folks, it could not be challenged anymore. See, before, amen, we come up and try to say, well, this is how I think we ought to do it. Let's go back into, amen, the manual of our lives and see how God says we ought to do it. Secondly, don't swing at every pitch. See, the enemy knows, amen, how to throw some, amen, deceptive. Can I tell you that curveball is wicked? That knuckleball will come at you, and it'll come at you just like it's floating in the air, and you're sitting there, and you're waiting on it, and you're like, and you'll swing, and you'll be looking like a fool. How many have ever seen a knuckleball thrown? How many know that it'll make a grown man look foolish? That curveball, amen, I went to a batter's cage one time, and I said to myself, let me start with easy. I smacked it, and I said, man, this is easy. Let me go to the medium, and I said, this is easy. So I said, let me try something. Let me go to the fastball. I sat there, and I took one ball, and I said, I need to get out of here because I'm going to die. I said, if I don't get out of this cage, one of those balls is going to hit me, and I'm going to die. Can I tell you, they're wicked. They curve, they go, they turn, they do all kinds of things, amen. That's how the devil is able, amen, when he throws, amen, a ball or a decision or something at you. Listen to me. It'll catch you off guard. See, Satan, amen, tempted Eve with something that looked good. Eve, I see you've been looking at. Isn't it good for your eyes? Amen? See? But she responded and said, yes, it looks fabulous. But God said, well, the reason why God said that is because once you eat of it, you're going to be just as God. See, Satan tempted Jesus with a shortcut. Command these rocks to be made into bread. Do you really have to go to the cross? Do you really have to do that? That's too much. Why don't you jump? Why don't you bow down to me? And everything you see will be given to you. Can I tell you this morning? You can write this down because it'll save your life. Not every opportunity is a good opportunity. Not every opportunity will be a good opportunity. Philippians 1, 9, and 10. And this I pray that your love may abound still more and more knowledge and in all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. You and I, we must approve what is excellent and not just merely permissible. Discernment means we learn to say no to distractions, compromises, and to the things that are keeping you and I away from God's plan or will for our lives. Can I tell you, the devil's always coming in. I knew that my plan was to be in Killeen. But can I tell you? The devil made it so easy for me. I said, God, this is perfect. Amen? And I'll tell you how he did it. I was just about ready to get out of the military. I got saved in Killeen, Texas in 1999. And as I surrendered my life to Christ, I found out that we had a church, a fellowship church, there in my hometown of Merced, California. That's my hometown. That's my wife's hometown. Perfect. We got a church. As we would go there on leave, we would be a great blessing to the pastor and his wife, George and Ruth Garcia. We're going to be now used more for God. Everything lined up, didn't it? I said, God, you've made everything so perfect that it's great. Everything looks so good. We got a church. It's in my hometown. We're going to be a blessing to the pastor and his wife. We're already in a good-sized church, so we already know what we're going to do immediately. Amen. I got there. I became the song service leader, not knowing any of the songs. Amen. But I became the song service leader. I got a key to the church. Amen. I would clean up. We would help out. We would go outreach. We would do all the things. Listen, we were doing it. But it's what I wanted to do. That's not what God wanted me to do. See, and I quickly found out that, amen, it was not God's will for me to go there. It was my will. So when God said, when God spoke to me after I was already there in Merced, California, God spoke to me and he said, you got to go back. Well, I got a few problems. I got a wife that's about ready to give birth. Amen. She's about ready to give birth to my third daughter. And we don't have any money. How many know that? Those are two big hurdles that you got to jump over. But can I tell you, just because I did it wasn't the right thing to do. Just because I went there, listen, just because I went there, it was not the God's will to do. What is keeping you out of God's will this morning? That you allow it, but yet it's not aligned in God's will for your life. See, being mature is not just avoiding sin, but it is choosing, amen, to say no to it. When I got saved from being an alcoholic, amen. You know that for months, let's just say the aisle right here where these two young girls are, amen, Nia and Afia, where they are, that was the liquor aisle to the store, amen. Can I tell you, as I would go through, amen, as I would go through the store, I would go by and all of a sudden let me come down this aisle because I can't go down that aisle. Can I tell you, sin is going to be all around you. Sin is always going to be all around you. But it's not just avoiding it, it's choosing to say no. It's choosing. See, we can try. Listen, can I tell you, I could have avoided it all my life, but if one day I went by and I chose to, amen, take a drink, everything that God did in my life would have been for nothing. Because God had delivered me from being an alcoholic. But it's not just avoiding it. It's choosing to say no to it. Lastly, this morning, watching a strike go by. See, we sometimes get so cautious that you will miss the right opportunity to swing at one of those balls. God will open a door. God will open up an opportunity to serve, to give, to witness, or an opportunity for you and I to step out in faith. But yet, we can miss that ball and just simply let it get by. As Christians, we pray for opportunities. How many have ever prayed for opportunities? You pray for opportunities. But we refuse the opportunities that God sends. Explain that one to me. God, I pray. God sends it. Oh, God. I don't think that's from God. Let me see. You prayed. God opened the door. But I don't think that's from God. Can I tell you, you laugh, but yet you do the same. Amen? I'm just going to let it go by. But we pray for that. See, Ecclesiastes 11:4. I love this verse. Listen, read Ecclesiastes. It'll turn your life around. It says, whoever watches the wind will never sow. It's rainy today. It's windy today. I'm not going to go outside. Can I tell you, it's going to be rainy and windy every day here. So if we don't take advantage of the opportunities, you will never be able to sow. Faith this morning tells you and I to swing at the right pitch. See, the right pitch, the right pitch is trained through our spiritual eyes. Baseball players, from the time they are in T-ball, all the way, amen, if you reach the major leagues, these baseball players, they spend thousands and thousands and thousands of hours learning to recognize the different pitches that are thrown. Discernment this morning, it requires the same training. Hebrews 5:14 says, our senses are trained through, constant practice. The more time that you and I, spend with God, the quicker you and I, will be able to recognize God's voice. See, the Holy Spirit is that umpire that you and I saw. The Holy Spirit will never contradict the Word of God. The Holy Spirit will never contradict Scripture. John 16:13 says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you, the things to come. The Holy Spirit is going to guide all of us in all truth. When he warns, when he warns you and I, can I tell you, don't proceed, stop. When he gives us peace, we have to be able to swing, in faith. Ignoring his voice will stall you. And I wonder how many people are stalled this morning because you stop hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit this morning. You're stalled. That means we're just there. We're stalled. See, this morning, it is not whether the pitches are coming. It is, do we know God's strike zone? Let's show that last picture, amen. Look at this. That's the difference between a ball and a strike. It's right there on the line. But yet, if the person didn't swing, that could be a called strike three, and you're out. That much. Maybe not even that, because it's right on the line. It was called a strike. And the batter didn't swing. If we don't take advantage of our opportunities, those opportunities might not come again. Amen? See, God this morning is looking for men and women who will know when to swing, but also know when to know that it is a ball. We have to be able, listen to me, we have to be able to know when God is speaking to us. We have to be able to know when it is the voice of God. And how are you and I going to know? It's written in these 66. That's it. If you're reading every other book, but you forsake this book, then you're getting somebody else's opinion, but you're not getting God's direct word to you. And you can still get something out of it, but can I tell you? I'd rather hear, amen, in a first-person point of view, not a third-person. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'd rather hear in a first-person point of view of where my life should go instead of other people, amen, always telling me, well, you ought to do this, so I'm running over here. No, 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 come this way. No, come over here. And yet we're just going all around in a circle. And God's like, yeah, he's still moving. Yeah, yeah, look, he's over there now. When you and I finally come to understand what God wants for our lives, God will finally come in and say, stop. This is what I want for you. Let me have every head bowed and every eye closed. Amen. You're here this morning. You're not saved. You're here this morning. You're not right with God. God's grace and mercy is so powerful that he would want to give you and I this morning the opportunity to get right. The opportunity to come and enter into his presence. Maybe you're here this morning, you're not saved, or maybe you're backslidden. At one point in your life, you were serving God. You were there. God was moving powerfully in your life. But distractions, temptations came, and it pulled you away from God. Can I tell you, it doesn't matter what the distraction or temptation is. It achieved its objective. And the objective for that was to pull you away from God. And it did. And today you find yourself distant from God. But this morning, you're going to come back to Jesus. But you have to recognize where you are at, folks. You have to recognize where you find yourself at right now. Or you're going to be just like that person. You're there at the batter's box. Balls and strikes are going by, and all you're doing is just standing there doing nothing. That's you this morning. You're not right with God, or you've never surrendered your life to Jesus. Would you simply do one thing? All I want to do is pray for you. Would you lift up your hand? I want to pray for you this morning. Amen. Anybody here? Lift up your hand. God wants to do a miracle in your life. Hallelujah. Learning to discern the right strike zone. Amen. See, God this morning is speaking to you. You have to get. You can be stalled out, or you can begin to recognize those strikes and balls. You can begin, to recognize the voice of God again. And God wants to truly do something powerful. God wants to do something powerful this morning. You know, God wants to use you. God wants to use you. When God touched my life, I told God, I said, God, whatever you want. I began to know about the things of God. I began to recognize what God wanted. And then I answered what God desired for my life. But unless you know who God and what God wants to do, you will always say things like, one day, sometime, tomorrow. Can I tell you? Today, the Bible says, is the appointed day. God wants to do something powerful this morning, amen. And I believe that God is speaking to people's lives this morning, amen. The altar is open. Come, lay hold of God. Come, lay hold of God. Lay hold of God this morning. Let Jesus do something powerful this morning. Sometimes we can get distracted. Sometimes we can even be tempted. But we have to be able to know The way you know is through prayer and reading the Word of God. What God desires and wants for your life. The Holy Spirit is God's voice here on earth that is guiding you and I into all truths. God wants to help us. He wants to help us. Can we allow the Spirit of God to truly move? See, sometimes we can get into it, just like where that catcher, he argued those two strikes or those two balls, thinking that they were strikes. See, sometimes we can begin to say things like, well, we've always done things like this, but was it right? Can I tell you, before I got saved, I did a lot of things, but yet they were not right. But I still did them. And God wanted me to do something. And when he opened up that door, listen to me, when God opened up that door, I was at the decision point. I was either going to walk through that door or I was going to let that door close and just watch it close. And can I tell you, I'm here today because I walked through those doors. I'm here today because God changed my life. You would not want to be around me when I was not saved. I was a very wicked person. I didn't care. Listen, we used our living room as a fighting ring in my house. And there were seven boys. So we didn't care. So if you looked at me crazy, I'd look at you crazy and I'd say, what's up? I wouldn't care. But God changed my life. And now God put care into my life. People like you that I don't even know, that I didn't even know before I got here. But yet he put I had to walk through. If I would just have said, and if I would just have looked and said, yeah, it might be good. But if I would have never stepped in, I would have still been exactly the way I am. Or I know for sure, probably without a shadow of a doubt, I would not be here today. But yet God touched my life and he changed me. But I had to be able to recognize, that's discernment. I had to recognize, I couldn't just sit there and just like Ecclesiastes, if we see the wind and not so, well, we'll just wait. And we'll be waiting and waiting and waiting, and nothing will ever get done. Let's take advantage, folks. We got a lot of great momentum. God is doing powerful and wonderful things. We cannot just let those balls go by without us taking a swing at it. Amen. John, won't you close us in prayer this morning?